Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America. Squeaking Wheels of Coleman's Well, Sussex, Virginia, by Hugh Mays, is a Christian living book that shares much more than a testament to one's faith. It shares his life-changing testimony of how God moved in his life. Hugh Mays was born in 1948, the fourth child of Lewis and Elaine Mays, and the squeakiest wheel of all. He's a pastor at Shiloh Baptist Church in Carson, Virginia, and was a computer operations supervisor. He had a lung collapse at an early age that bled internally until he went into blood pressure shock at the age of 19. Hugh then contracted hepatitis C from the blood transfusions, which caused his depression and a made attempt on suicide. Years later, he was stabbed above the heart, collapsing his lung and coming within a fraction of entering his heart cavity. That CAT scan from the stabbing found that he had an aortic aneurysm. His blood oxygen level would not stabilize until they found a hole in his heart. 6 months later, his lungs began filling with fluid caused by the stabbing, and he stopped breathing during the procedure. Hugh says God has been with him every step of the way and has truly blessed his life. And Hugh Mays, author of Squeaking Wheels of Coleman's Well, Sussex, Virginia, is our guest on This Week in America. Pastor Mays, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me this morning.
It is our pleasure.
It's a pleasure to be here.
What a remarkable story and what you've gone through, and such an important inspirational message that we will get into during the course of the program. The book available wherever books are sold. I'll give you Pastor May's website as we go through our conversation today. Let's start with a little bit of your family history, a fascinating history that you have. Talk a little bit about the family.
Our family history tree starts with William Robinson, 1785 to 1854, who descended from John Robinson of the Mayflower. William Robinson had a son, Robert. Robert had a daughter, Molly Robinson. Molly married Emmett Lewis. They were all my great-grandparents. John Robinson, 1576 to 1625, was pastor of the Pilgrim Fathers before they left on the Mayflower. He became one of the early leaders of the English Separatists and is regarded, along with Robert Brown, as one of the founders of the Congregational Church. John Robinson said to the Pilgrims as they set sail for America, "The Lord has more truth yet to break forth out of his holy word." And I agree with this statement of my great-grandfather.
What a remarkable history. Yes, go ahead and finish. I'm sorry, I just want to comment. I'm so impressed with the background. Go ahead and finish talking about your family.
Isaac Robinson, his dates were 1744 through 1807. My fourth great-grandfather was an elder and instrumental in building Saponi Baptist Church at Stony Creek, Virginia. I was licensed to preach by Saponi Baptist Church on its 205th homecoming in June 1978. I was ordained to preach by Saponi Baptist Church on May 27th, 1979.
That's just remarkable, your background, where you are today, pastor of Shiloh Baptist Church in Carson, Virginia, a computer operations supervisor for a time as well. Our guest is Hugh Mays, M-A-Y-E-S. The book is Squeaking Wheels of Coleman's Well, Sussex, Virginia, book available wherever books are sold. Talk about the growing up years. I mentioned we'll talk about the very incidents in your life that dramatically changed your life as we go through the conversation. But talk about growing up. I understand a house with electricity. It was a difficult time growing up, wasn't it?
Yes, sir. We lived in the old parsonage there in Coleman's Well. My grandparents moved in 1912. I was born in 1948, my mother and father were married in 1936, and when they moved in the house, they had to move the bed from place to place because the plastering was falling down. There was no electricity and no running water. And so when I was born, they put the my baby bottles down the well to keep them cool. It would say no bathroom, no running water still up until I was a teenager. We finally got, well, we got electricity right after, I can remember, but we finally got running water when I was an eighth grader. And then they did not get indoor plumbing until after I was graduated from business school. But it was a typical Southern farmer life. Daddy was a peanut farmer, and we worked in the fields, and we had wood heat, and it was a good youth. Church was our main thing that we attended.
Yes.
We lived within a mile of church, Sharon Methodist Church, and of course, school. I began to have migraines when I was in the fourth grade of school. I cannot realize that I was had that much stress as a child, but I had migraines from then till I was in my 20s. But I had a good youth. We had played Little League baseball and Pony League baseball and community affairs, but it was school and church and farming and us growing up.
Hugh Mays, our guest on the program. The book is Squeaking Wheels of Coleman's Well, Sussex, Virginia. Book available wherever books are sold. Didn't mean to interrupt there talking about the childhood and what you went through. And through it all, you still had that church as sort of the foundation for you and able to do some of the things, joyful things that you talk about, as well as the migraine, some of the other issues that you went through. You went off to business college. What were those years like for you?
It was quite a difference moving to Richmond, because I've been raised out here in the country with just three houses in sight, and not means to just get around with just my parents. And going downtown Richmond, I saw a lot of things that I'd never seen before.
Well, I'm sure of that, yes.
On the negative side, walking the streets to school and so forth, that you were solicited for money, sex, and whatever on the streets. And one time I had to actually take out running. I was walking back from downtown, and this car pulled up beside me with two men, and he says, "We want to talk to you." And I just kept walking, and they kept following me. So I crossed the street on a down a one-way street where they couldn't turn into. So they met me at the end of that block.
Wow.
And I just took out running to the home. But it was a good education. It prepared me for the computer world. And that was a new... I was in unit record operations before I got into computer, but I worked for a bank, and the college prepared me well, but it was a different style of life. And of course, during the time I was in business school, I had been fortunate enough to have a man in the community to talk to, and he recommended me to a bank to finance the college years with. I did not have the means to go to college, and my dad didn't have it either. But Dad did sign the note, and we got through business college.
And you got through business college and had a successful career. I mentioned a computer operations supervisor. When did you feel the call to preach was sort of in the family, as you just mentioned, with the family history? When did you feel that call, that urge to become a preacher?
I actually felt the call the first time at 16, but I was a C student at the best in high school, and I did not have financial means, and I felt like it was an impossibility. But God still planted the call in my heart, and I helped my uncles move a preacher from Southeastern Seminary at Wake Forest, North Carolina, back to Stony Creek. And I can remember walking up the steps across the road. He lived across the road from the seminary, and I walked across the road and viewed the campus and just thought how great it would be to go there, never dreaming that I would ever be able to go there. And then later in life, after I met the Hoppers, and just before I met them, I was in my 20s, and I began to feel the call very strongly.
And you talk about that in the book, the impact that so many people had in your life, including the Hopper brother and Connie, and the impact. Well, and let's talk about that briefly. Where did you meet them, and what impact did they have on who you are today and getting into the ministry?
In October 1973, I met them in person. I had been watching gospel music as a teenager on Sunday morning, on the programs on Sunday morning before we would go to church. And I had forgot the group's name, but I remembered that I liked this group that had a lady. They were brothers, and the lady played the piano. And when I finally met them was in October 1973. A lady in our church had invited them to come and sing. And by that time, I really hadn't kept up the interest in gospel music. And so I went out of support, because the lady had helped me with my projects at the church at Saponi. And I went thinking, well, there won't be anybody there, and I'll make sure that we're a small church, that they have somebody there. I'll be there.
Yes.
And I got there and saw a Silver Eagle, and I said, this is a bigger deal than I thought it was.
Yes.
And I sat in the balcony and said that, well, the church was full on the floor level, and I sat down and watched them sing and could look down straight in their faces, and with the music and the inspiration in their faces and the presentation, it was an awesome experience. And God had been speaking to me, and he spoke to me even greater that night. And I definitely wanted to go into the ministry. And so they have become personal friends over the years.
It's interesting how people you meet and you think it's just sort of random meeting, and that certainly wasn't. That really inspired you and motivated you to pursue the life that you're living now and touching people in such a positive manner. Our guest on the program is Hugh Mayes, M-A-Y-E-S. The book is Squeaking Wheels of Coleman's Well, Sussex, Virginia. Coleman's is C-O-M-A-N-S. His website, very simple, the name of the book, Squeaking Wells of Coleman's Well. And you can link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Google it, you'll be able to find it as well. Book available wherever books are sold. I mentioned very briefly in the beginning all that you went through, the different problems, the difficulties. There was one point in there where you really contemplated suicide. Talk about that. When did that happen, and how did you get through that period?
Well, on July 18th, 1974, I felt like a complete failure. I had lost my girlfriend, and I had asked her to marry me, and she said no, and I had lost six young friends in death, and I had had a change in jobs, which I did not realize was going to end up in a major salary cut. But I was supervisor for the company, and I was told I had to lay somebody off. And so I took the layoff because I knew I had another job. I had an offer, but we hadn't made a financial deal. And when I got there, he said, I'm going to pay you as high as I pay anybody, but he says, I'm not going to pay you any more. And so it was less than what I'd been making. And I just felt like I had been a complete failure. And so one day I left work, and I don't drink. I never had tasted a beer. I bought two beers, and then I had all these medications from the migraines and so forth, the health problems that I have, that I went came home and I drank one beer. I didn't make the second one. I said I couldn't take the taste. I threw that one away. But I took all the medication I had, and I did end up when I took the pills, I prayed for forgiveness. I didn't pray to live. I just prayed for forgiveness for taking my life. And then I said, what do I do now? And I had always said if I would go in the rapture, I'd like to go here and gospel music, and I just started a song, and then I went to church. I went to Saponin, and I spent the night on the floor in my Sunday school classroom, and I was out for about 36 hours. But my family got me to the hospital, and of course, the first thing that the doctor said, well, you took the wrong thing and gave me another prescription. But a pastor came to see me from North Carolina on that Sunday, and I did go on to the family doctor and have tests and so forth and counseling, and God brought me through it. But I drove in the condition I don't even remember being in the car. And he did keep me in. And I do remember throwing up, and I think that's what really made me be able to live through it.
Yes.
It's because I emptied my stomach of some of the medications that I take, because I had always prescription drugs. I've never taken any illegal drugs. But it was an eye-changing experience. So once I woke up and got my life back together.
And you have, and it's all detailed in Pastor May's book. The book is Squeaking Wheels of Coleman's Well, Sussex, Virginia. His website is squeakingwheelsofcolemanswell.com. Look on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Time going by quickly. A few minutes left in the program. Let's touch briefly on hepatitis and when you were stabbed. I mentioned those. Each one of these incidents probably would have been the end for so many people. You got through these, you build on these, successfully helping other people through problems in their lives. When did you have hepatitis C?
I contracted hepatitis C in 1968 when I had the lung collapse from blood transfusions. And it was discovered by a doctor in 2000. So I had it for a long time. Treatments through VCU, MCV in Richmond, drug test program, testing drugs, and I was cured of the hepatitis C. But in 1914, a young person walked up to the church, homeless, and I took him into prayer, and he needed somewhere to stay, and somewhere he was totally homeless, no money, only the clothes on his back. and I took him out to eat and put him in a motel, my wife and I, and he ended up living with us for a while. We checked him out through social services and Social Security office and so forth, and we took him into our home and kept him for about 6 months. But he began to, once he could get away from us, our church had members helped him get a car, and he got a job, and things were going well till he did get away from us. He was helpful here in the house when he lived here, but once he got away from us, he went back to his old habits, which we didn't know he had, of drinking and drugs. And one night he showed up, one morning rather, he showed up and stabbed us both. He stabbed her 5 times in the neck. He stabbed me above the heart and collapsed my lung again.
Yes.
And he just didn't make it into my heart cavity. And so we were airlifted from Commonwealth to Richmond. We landed on top of the roof of MCV. When I walked by the her helicopter, she had, they sewed her up on the roof of MCV with no anesthesia. And she was in, we were put in intensive care. And thankfully, we survived. And of course, he was arrested the next day driving my car. And of course, he had stole money and so forth. So that was rather a different experience.
Well, and it all is discussed in Pastor May's book. The book is Squeaking Wheels of Commonswell, Sussex, Virginia, book available wherever books are sold. I've just a minute or so left here in the program. What do you hope the takeaway is as people read the book, the motivation for you to write it, and what you hope the message is that people have as they read the book?
Well, I believe in Matthew 28:18-19, which is the Great Commission to go into the world and teach and preach and so forth. And this is be my way of going into the world and telling people about Jesus Christ. I have served 3 churches, and I'm getting older now, but I would like to tell people a story of my life so that they can see how God has worked through my life. And I believe he works through everyone's life. And so if they would just put their trust and faith in him.
Well, I know one of the messages is people need God's guidance and grace to live a peaceful life. And that comes across loud and clear in the book Squeaking Wheels of Commonswell, Sussex, Virginia by Hugh Mays. I know you've worked with Reader's Magnet in getting out the book out there, Reader's Magnet Self-Publishing and Marketing Company. What has that been like after writing the book? Now you go into business mode and you get the book out there doing interviews like this and talking about the book. What's it been like working with Reader's Magnet?
They've been very helpful. They were one of the first people to call me after I had the book published, and they have been very helpful in guiding me and trying to get the book out there. Of course, I like anyone, I like to see the books sold, but basically I want the message of Jesus Christ out there, and so they've been very helpful in getting that out there.
Well, the book is available wherever books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places. You can go to Pastor May's website, which is squeakingwheelsofcommonswell.com. We'll have links up on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Pastor Mays, a pleasure having you on the program, taking the time to tell your story and to talk about this book, a very important book, Again, Squeaking Wheels of Coleman's Well. Thank you, sir, for being with us on the program.
Well, thank you for having us. We just appreciate it.
Well, it's been our pleasure to help you spread the word. The book is available, again, wherever books are sold, Squeaking Wheels of Coleman's Well, Sussex, Virginia. You're listening to This Week in America. Links, by the way, on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.